conversion on the part of adults, the deep personal experience of being born again in Christ, is also far more important in the United States, with its emphasis on individual choice and personal experience, than elsewhere. In the mid-1980s, some 33% of respondents told the Gallup poll they had been born again. By the early 2000s, the number had climbed to 44 to 46%. George W. Bush's own tale of coming to God struck a chord in the church-going United States that would have been impossible in less observant Europe. Even in kindred Canada, supposedly no prime minister has ever claimed to be born again. Likewise, notably American is the pervasive influence of the Bible, from the first English migrations a staple of belief and interpretation. Bible publishing in the New Republic quickly became an industry. Some 1,800 different English language editions were published between 1777 and 1865, and remains one today, with more than 7,000 editions available as of 1990. National attentiveness to Scripture, in turn, helps to explain the unusual popular commitment to biblical inerrancy, prophecy, and the supposed end times. A related topic, the recurrent conflict between religiosity and science, reflects how much American thinking has been steeped in both. Tensions between the Book of Genesis and Darwinian theories of evolution, brought to a theatrical and political head in 1925 in Tennessee's famous Scopes trial, still throb. The result, concludes Knoll, has been a much greater salience in America concerning evolution and creation science than in any other Western society. Sociologists Rodney Stark and Roger Fink, in their pioneering study, The Churching of America, 1776 to 1990, provide a revealing explanation of America's religious idiosyncrasies. The religious history of the United States, they say, rests heavily on sectarian emotion and revival, a process underway since the 18th century in which churches become establishmentarian, compromise their errand into the wilderness, and then lose their organizational vigor, eventually to be replaced by less worldly groups, whereupon the process is repeated. Even by the time of the American Revolution, the old colonial elite denominations, Congregationalists in New England, Quakers in Pennsylvania, and Anglicans from Chesapeake Bay and to the South, were in places being challenged or overtaken by upstart Baptists and Scotch-Irish Presbyterians. By 1850, revival-minded Methodists and Baptists, with their itinerant preachers, circuit riders, and camp meetings, ranked first and second nationally. By the early 20th century, Baptists had pulled ahead, with Pentecostal, Charismatic, Restorationist, Holiness, and other sects gaining traction. The colonial-era elite denominations kept slipping down the list, holding ever smaller ratios of U.S. worshipers. By the end of the 20th century, the fundamentalist-leaning Southern Baptist Convention, wedded to biblical inerrancy, was by far the largest Protestant group. Indeed, as we will see in greater detail, the SBC, together with other once peripheral sects, boasted some 40 million adherents versus a combined 15 million members of the four leading mainline churches, Methodist, Episcopal, Presbyterian, and Church of Christ Congregational. Like Stark and Fink, historian Knoll observed that previously marginal groups have become larger and more important, while previously central denominations have moved toward the margins. The Protestant bodies whose rates of growth in recent decades have exceeded general population increases, sometimes far exceeded, are nearly all characterized by such labels as Bible-believing, born-again, conservative, evangelical, fundamentalist, holiness, Pentecostal, or restorationist. While avoiding judgmental descriptions, Stark and Fink did insist on the primary feature of our religious history. The mainline bodies are always headed for the sideline. Sectarianism keeps claiming center stage, reinforcing or reinventing the radical aspects of American religion. The ever-expanding American revival tent. As the 21st century began, none of the Western countries in which Reformation Protestantism bred its radical or anarchic sects nearly 500 years earlier, England, Scotland, Germany, Switzerland, and the Netherlands, still had congregations of any great magnitude adhering to that theology. Even sympathetic commentators have described church attendance in England with phrases such as catastrophic decline, and a recent survey of students at Belgium's ancient Catholic University in Leuven found only 16% crediting the resurrection of Christ and a mere 3% believing in the infallibility of the Pope. The United States, religiously inspired and settled by some of those same radical Protestant sects in the 1600s and early 1700s, took a different course. Its religious revivals keep coming, now jumping from rural tents to the electronic podiums of televangelism.